certainly good to see everyone gathered here this evening. I know that those who were not able to be here this morning, at least some of them are able to come and be with us this evening, and we're glad for that. In a recent look through some material that I have in preparation to do some studying on the book of Revelation, I ran up on an outline titled Beatitudes of the Revelation. And I thought, well, now that sounds strange, because when you think of the Revelation, you think of destruction and battles and wars and all those sort of things. And so I investigated the outline, and there are some interesting things to consider, and we want to look at those this evening. In fact, normally when we think of Beatitudes, of course, we go to the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount and the things that are found there. And of course, as we studied those in our Wednesday night class, we made note that they're also included in the book of Luke in a little bit different form. But certainly when we talk about Beatitudes, we're talking about blesseds, or happy is the idea that's being expressed there. And most of the time, that's not the kind of emotion that we equate with the book of Revelation. But as with so many other things in the book of Revelation, there are at least seven Beatitudes in the book. It kind of worked out neat that way, because we got a lot of sevens, and maybe keeping it associated with that seven number can help us remember these things. And certainly many of us throughout our years have used various methods to help us remember things, but there are some blesseds that are found in the book of Revelation, and we're not looking at these just because they're unique, but because they're important to us. And maybe in looking at this, it'll encourage you to go and spend a little bit more time in the book of Revelation from time to time, realizing that there are a lot of things to be found in there. There's a lot of good and useful advice and instruction given there, not just in those first couple of chapters with the letters to the churches, but throughout the letter that John recorded from Jesus and delivered to those churches and to the Christians of that age. And so we can glean much from it. And we want to consider these blessings that are found in the book of Revelation. Of course, the first one that we will look at is found actually in chapter 1, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, this blessing is pronounced particularly on those in relation to this prophecy. But as we look at the pages of Scripture and the lessons that we have learned in the past, we recognize that it should be generally understood that hearing and reading from the Word of God brings blessings to us. It was one of the things that was instructed to the nation of Israel that they were to do. They were to read from the law on a regular basis. In fact, in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, we read, "He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient.'" And again, in Joshua chapter 8, afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Part of their rules and regulations that they had as a people of God is they were to listen to the law. They were to read and understand what it was God had revealed and had prepared and sent down to earth for them to guide them. Now, they didn't have many of the modern conveniences that we have today, and that's why oftentimes they heard the law more than read the law. I don't know what the literacy rate was back then, but it's my understanding that there were a lot of people that couldn't read for themselves, but they heard the law. It passed down through the oral tradition, but there were copies made and very particular things done in regards to make sure that those copies remained accurate throughout the ages. And as the law was read, the people gave attention to what was being said. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 17, we find that not just reading and hearing the law, but the king was given an order that he was to write his own copy of the law. It shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or the left, so that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom and in the midst of Israel. Here we see a image of the blessing that comes from reading and hearing the law. It directs one's mind toward God. And in directing one toward God and giving heed to the words of God, it would keep him from beginning to feel that he was superior to the people. It would remind the king that he was still a servant of God, that he was under the reign of God, and would cause him to keep his life and his manners in such a way that he would be blessed by God. Time and time again throughout the Old Testament, we see where the kings were told, if you will do my will, you'll live long and have a long and profitable kingdom, and your sons will profit as well. Even in the days after the captivity, when Nehemiah came back and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple, we find in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, he read from it from before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning till midday. In the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Throughout the Old Testament, we find instruction that they were to read the law because it would bring blessings to them. And we see a similar thing given to us in the pages of New Testament Scripture as we've studied in the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. He told him, as we just looked at a few weeks ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he needed to be diligent with the Word so that he could operate himself in such a manner that he would not be a shameful workman in handling the Word of the Lord. So we give instruction and we get guidance that we are to read and hear from the law of the Lord. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 55 and verse 3 said, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David." Certainly, Isaiah not speaking of himself, but speaking of God. Listen, and you will be blessed. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And of course, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, we'll be looking at this in our Wednesday night class here before long. The voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Making the distinction between Jesus and the law and the prophets of old. And that Jesus was the one that we're to listen to. Jesus tells us that he's coming, and when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, those who hear will live. In John chapter 5 and verse 25. And of course, in the book of Revelation 20, or chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me." Jesus will enter into our hearts if we will read and listen to his words. And then, of course, the passage that most all of us think of when we hear about hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it is through hearing the word that we develop faith. And considering those things and what's been said about the blessings that come upon those that hear the Word and listen to the Word and put focus into the Word actually takes us to the second blessing that we find, and this is over toward the end of the book of Revelation. I don't have these in chronological order or book order, but in a more logical order to my mind. But we come, "Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." And once again, this blessing is pronounced particularly on those who were associated with this particular prophecy. This is not a general statement of blessed is he who heeds the words of God, but it's specific regarding this particular book of prophecy and the teachings that were given. And when we look at that, if we consider the book of Revelation and what's involved, we could see very readily how there would be great blessings to not just hearing these words, but taking advantage of the lessons that are taught and preparing oneself so that they were ready when these things took place. They would be able to overcome the temptation that would come upon them. But it is also a general idea that is taught throughout Scripture, once again, that the one who not just hears the Word of God, not just listens or reads from, but gives heed to, takes action based upon the Word of God, is going to be blessed. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 25. In Proverbs chapter 3, in the advice that Solomon gave to his son, he says, "Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Or as he tells us in the latter part of the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 13, the conclusion when all has been heard, "Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man," or this applies to every person. Giving a heed to the Word of God brings great blessing to us. While it might not be something that we would expect from the book of Revelation, it is a teaching that is found within that book, along with so many others that are useful to us each and every day of our lives. Jesus told many that it was those who heed the Word of God. "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and observe it," He said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death," in John chapter 8 and verse 51. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," we've read in John chapter 14 and verse 15. And of course, one of the more prominent verses in regards to heeding the law of the Lord would be Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. "That it is not the one that says, 'Lord, Lord,' but the one who does the will of the kingdom, the will of the Father, that will enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's not just listening, it's not just reading from, but it's actually giving heed to those words, taking them, allowing them to take root into our heart and to grow and blossom into those things that God would have to be dwelling within us. Certainly, James touches on this in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. We read, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, gives heed to it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So while there are blessings to hearing and reading from the Word of God, because it draws us closer to God, there are even greater blessings if we give heed to those words. We adhere to the things that are found within the pages of God's blessed Word. Another of the things that we find in the book of Revelation that talks about happiness or happy is or blessings upon is those who have washed their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Sometimes when I do these sermons, I try to put just short things up on the screen so they're easy to remember. But if I just put "blessed are those who wash their robes," we miss about half of the point of this blessing. Because it's not just somebody that goes out and makes sure their clothes are clean. It's somebody that has cleansed themselves so that they will have a right to the tree of life. And once again, this goes back to that idea of heeding the Word of God, carrying it out in our lives. Maybe this goes just a little further than just listening to the commandments and thinking they're good ideas and we follow them, but here we actually make them a part of who we are by cleansing ourselves from the wickedness and sin of this world. We wash our robes, such as Paul was told by Ananias, to arise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. throughout the pages of Scripture, we see this imagery of washing associated with baptism. Certainly, we could go back to the Old Testament and look at the rules and regulations that were given to the Levitical priests to cleanse themselves and sanctify themselves so that they could go into the presence of God, so that they could enter into that Holy of Holies or to the holy place, depending on whether they were high priest or just one of the other priests. And the cleansing rituals that were given to the Israelites, and we could make that connection. For certainly that's part of the connection that is made here with this imagery. But we make this connection a little closer with baptism in our dispensation today, such as Paul did in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Blessed are those who have washed their robes," who've cleansed themselves so that they can come into the presence of God. There's an allusion here, even all the way back to the creation or to the Garden of Eden and how we were separated from the tree of life because of sin. But those who wash themselves and cleanse themselves of sin, they have the right to come back into the presence of God, into the place where the tree of life blooms, in the garden and the gates of the city that belong to God. The Hebrew writer encourages us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Paul even applies this to Jesus sanctifying the church in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 when he says, "So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word." This idea of washing and being cleansed, we need to accept and understand that it is one of the things that allows us to be blessed and to receive blessings of God. Even the prophets of old spoke of this. Isaiah in chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, we read, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." And that makes us a connection to James chapter 1 and verse 27. "For we're told pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might be able to have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city. We can receive those blessings today. Certainly, each one of us at some point in our life has cleansed ourselves of sin. And as long as we keep our robes white, we can know that the blessing of being able to enter into that eternal home will be ours. Another blessing that we find when we look into the pages of the Revelation is in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame." And once again, here's a passage where we have to put more than just the blessed in there to fully understand. Some might read through this, and some versions may render it in such a way that it seems to indicate keeping your clothes clean. But it is that, but it's a different kind of an image that's putting forth. It's an image of readiness, preparation. Blessed is the one who keeps himself ready for the return of the Master. He stays awake and keeps his clothes at hand so that when it comes time, he's prepared. The imagery of, "Behold, I come like a thief." Not Jesus is coming to steal things away, but he's coming at an unexpected hour, at a time that we may not be prepared. And if we are one who stays awake, is alert, then we can walk without shame as we leave with the God above. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Be ready, prepared. Take heed, we're told in Mark 13 and verse 33. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. A passage we looked at this morning in talking about how we need to submit ourselves wholly over to God in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober of spirit. Be sober of spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Looking at this alertness from the other direction. Not from the standpoint so much of watching for the master and prepared for the master, but watching out for evil that might come upon us. This takes us into the realm that would be considered in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. When God speaks to Ezekiel there in regards to the responsibilities that were given to a watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning and you have delivered yourself. When we are looking at this idea of being blessed because we stay awake and keep ourselves prepared and ready, we need to understand that involves both watching for the Savior, watching ourselves to keep to keep certain that we ourselves are prepared for His coming, but also watching out for the evil that may come. We who know the Word of God, we who study the Word of God and are well aware of His will, whether we like to think about it or not, we're the watchmen of the city. We're the ones who know what to look out for. And we need to be warning others. That's a part of this watching that must be done. If we're going to receive the blessings of being a watchman, remaining awake and aware and ready, we're going to have to be involved in all aspects of that. Much like the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. We need to be watching. We need to be guarding. We need to remain aware and ready for the things that are to come. Another blessing that we find in the pages of the Revelation is in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. And when we look at these things, we find that the last several of these have been pointed directly at those who are a part of the body of Christ. Those who have cleansed themselves and made themselves holy and set themselves apart from the world. But they require of us that we be active in that obedience. Not just listening and hearing, but taking action in our lives to do those things that are found in the Scripture and to continue in those things. that we stay awake and keep ourselves prepared, that we are a part of the first resurrection. It says, over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. And here again, we need to recognize that it places upon us a continual burden, not a one-time action, not something that we can do and it be over with, but a continuation of our action to remain eligible to stay away from or avoid the second death. Just because we have been born at one time does not mean that we will continue to remain faithful if we're not diligently watching and caring. Matthew 24 and verse 13 makes this clear by telling us the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Or as we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, in one of the letters to the seven churches, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt of the second death. Certainly we recognize, as Revelation 20 and verse 14 tells us, the second death is talking about the casting into the lake of the fire and brimstone where death and Hades will be thrown. That is the second death. We can avoid that if we are a part of the first resurrection. If we're a part of those who give our lives to the Lord and are born again here while on the face of the earth, we can know that we're going to be in heaven. We looked at when we studied the book of Thessalonians, the letters to those brethren there, some of them were concerned that some who had become a part of this first resurrection had already passed on. What's going to happen to them? And Paul gave them soothing words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When he said, for the Lord himself would descend with a shout, with the voice of the trumpet of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. We're blessed and holy because we are a part of the first resurrection as long as we remain a part of that. And maybe that particular part, or that point is made a little better as we look at the next to the last beatitude or blessing that we're going to consider from the book of Revelation. In chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Certainly, we, looking at the context of the Scriptures as a whole, understand that what's being talked about here is entering into heaven. Being able to go in and be with God, to be a part of the family of God. But understanding some of the things that we know, one of the things that might come to mind when we think about this marriage of the Lamb is the story of the 10 virgins that we have recorded in Matthew chapter 25. And as we've used this story in the past and has been used many times and will be in the future, this is a story that emphasizes the need to remain ready once again. The 10 virgins, we had 5 foolish and 5 wise is how they're described by God. The 5 wise were prepared and ready. The 5 foolish weren't. Oh, they were great to start with, but they didn't take the long-term attitude and they weren't prepared because the wait grew longer than they expected and they were running out of oil. And we read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, they had to leave and go and make a purchase. And while they were away making the purchase, the bridegroom came and those that were ready went in with him to the wedding feast and the door was shut. Do you reckon those 5 who had to go buy oil that missed the feast felt like they were blessed? No. In fact, that's the point of the story. They were left out. While at one time they were invited to the wedding feast, they did not remain, and so they missed out on the blessing. Blessed are the ones who are invited into the marriage supper of the Lamb, that are able to enter in because they remained faithful In fact, the last of our blessings that we see and want to consider from the book of Revelation. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yea, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." As Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and are remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." And then the verses we looked at, when the Lord returns, the dead in Christ will rise to go with him. Those who die in the Lord, those who are invited to the feast, those who are partakers of the first resurrection, those who heed the words of God, not just listen to or read through, but make them an active part of their life, who cleanse themselves through obedience to the will. When their time comes to die, as the Hebrew writer tells us, it comes for all. And they stand before God in judgment, they will receive blessings. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, the Apostle Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on." The psalmist tells us in Psalm 116 and verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? In deciding to present this lesson, the thought process was, here's some interesting things that might encourage you to go take a look at the book of Revelation and consider that there's more there than just the victory and defeat stories that we see over and over. A reminder that each and every page of Scripture has things that are beneficial to us and helpful to us in serving the Lord. But as studying and considering these things and thinking about the blessings that are talked about and the various different places in Scripture that continue to talk about these things, I saw this progression through these blessings that are found in the book of Revelation. Much like we find the progression of the seven angels or of the seven trumpets or of the seven vials and bowls. While they're not in order in that progression, there's certainly a progression there. It starts with hearing and reading the Word of God and then applying it in our lives, using it to separate ourselves from the world around us and to become different by cleansing ourselves so that we can have hope to be among those who are blessed. Those who have been invited to the wedding feast, who have partaken of the first resurrection and remain faithful, giving heed to the Word of God, so that when they leave from this life, when we leave from this life, we can pass from here into the arms of the Savior, because we are in the Lord. I hope you see the progression. I hope you see that it is imperative that we apply the Word of God in our lives.
not just listen to it, not just read from the prophecies and the teachings, but make application in how we live and continue faithful in those things. Those things will lead to the blessing that we truly are looking for. We might find some blessings here on earth as we go about serving the Lord, some good things about our relationship. But as we mentioned this morning, when we're talking about saving ourselves, when we're talking about being safe, we're talking about the end result. Not keeping our life here, but having a life there for all the time. With diligence in your own heart and assurance you're serving the Lord. If you stumble from serving God, you need to come back to Him confessing your sins so that you might be one of those who are blessed. We urge you to listen. You deserve it all to come while we stand and sing for your courage.